You are listening to WSCA 106.1 on your FM dial, and we are streaming live online at WSCAFM.org. My name is Mark, and this is Black Knight Meditations, and you guys know what a huge Overkill fan I've been since the 80s. My love for the band started when I saw the Taking Over cassette at my local record store, and after gazing at that album cover, I knew it had to be an amazing album by an amazing band, and I've been a huge fan ever since. It's been, what is it, like over 20 years now? Anyway, it's been a long time. Huge Overkill fan. And it's my absolute pleasure to welcome Overkill frontman Bobby Blitz Ellsworth to the 106.1 FM airwaves. Hey, Bobby, I know you've done a lot of these interviews in support of the new record. And I hope you're not wiped out just yet. So I'll try to go easy on you, all right? You know, the other guys in the band don't do too many interviews. That at some point, you just got to scratch your head and go, look, I got to stop doing this, you know? Maybe you could tell Dee Dee to step up to the plate. I know he doesn't like dealing with the media, but hey, you know, tell him, look, man.
He doesn't speak English. he does all the Hispanic Latin interviews.
You can tell him, look.
I just like saying that. But, you know, this is for a long period of time. This has kind of been my thing, and I don't mind doing it, and that's why it is my thing. So,
Hey, you can always have a little fun with him and say, "Look, did he step up?" Or, you know, I'm finding a new bass player.
I like saying this. I like saying this when he'd be nothing without me. I've been carrying him for 25 years.
Boy, what a great ride he's had. So, Before we talk about the upcoming Killfest tour, let's talk about the new Ironbound record. And again, I'm a huge fan of the band. I own every friggin' record you guys have done. Been a huge fan since 88 when I heard Taking Over. And I got to tell you, but this album, Ironbound, it seems to be the first album in like almost 15 years where it seems that the fans and the media are both saying that it's one of the finest records of your career. You know, as opposed to simply saying, you know, okay, here's another great Overkill record. You know, there are a lot of people, fans and media alike, saying this is one of their best, if not the best. I mean, there's a lot of hype this time around. But I got to be honest with you, I don't hear anything drastically different that you've done this time. I mean, this, you know, granted, this may be Overkill's thrashiest, fastest album, you know, probably since WFO. But I mean, am I wrong in saying that this is typical Overkill? I don't think you guys have really done anything different.
No, I think you're pretty spot on. I think, you know, the idea about going into the studio and recording is that you don't really know what the results are until the smoke clears, and that's till after you deliver it and after it's out there for a little while. And it's not based on public opinion. It's based more on, you know, were we clouded when we were in the studio? Was the chemistry correct? Under those circumstances, when everything's perfect, you get great results, but you still find that out later on. I think what this is, or the difference in this record, is that there's kind of an unseen hand. There's an X factor, and that X factor is, you know, we came off the road and started assembling a record. When you come off the road, the chemistry is different than that of in the studio, because it's a chemistry of dependency. Myself on Dee Dee, Dee Dee on Derek, on Ron, who depends on Dave, and so forth. And I think that when you have that, when it's unforced, when tape starts rolling or information starts being collected, that it's the X factor, because you can't force the road into the studio. But if it comes in naturally, that becomes a huge difference. And that's the excitement level. That's the relentlessness of the record. That's, you know, testing the songs to, let's say, make them more relentless, more brutal. You know, do we slow it down? Do we speed it up? We had all those luxuries because the chemistry was correct. And that's really the main difference in Ironbound. But I think you're pretty spot on with, you know, it's business as usual for Overkill. This is what we do.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like the songwriting is what we expect from Overkill. I mean, obviously, the attitude is there, so I don't necessarily think that there's really anything drastically different. But again, I was mentioning that you know, this is probably the fastest record since WFO, and you know, I got to say that I think for some fans, and maybe for even a lot of fans, I think that has a lot to do with why they appreciate the record more. And because, you know, there are those of us in the Overkill camp that, you know, that prefer the faster stuff. You know, I'm one of them. But, you know, I also dig the slower mid-pace and the groove stuff, too. But, you know, hey, we like our fast Overkill. And I think you've got a lot of fans who are saying, yes, you know, this is my favorite album in years by these guys. And I think that tempo has something to do with it. But I want to talk to you about production. And, you know, the album production is kind of like my personal hot button topic for Overkill. You had Peter from Hypocrisy mix the Ironbound record. And, you know, he has a history of solid quality but heavily produced albums. Now, was he brought in to achieve a specific sound that you guys had in mind? Or was it basically his credentials that got him the job?
He was brought in to achieve objectivity, total objectivity. We produced the record. Peter mixed it. So somewhere between production and mixing, objectivity is lost. We'll try it for a few records in a row to produce and mix ourselves. But I really think it's necessary sometimes to just wipe the slate clean and let somebody look at it who likes it, not who is who has an idea of what it should sound like, not our original idea. And I think that's where Peter comes in. I mean, we've done it in the past with Colin Richardson, for instance. Mm. You know, Colin comes in and just wipes the slate clean from what we perceive ourselves to be. Now, we worked with Peter with regard to the mix, but Peter brought in this total, I'm not going to say a left-field view, but it parallels to what we see ourselves as. And I think what he did was he made the band sound like a band. If I was talking about the energy X Factor, and that X Factor being live, he's made the band sound live. And live is really, let's say the word of the year, more organic than that of the studio. So this has got like an organic feel to it. It's got like a drum sounding like a drum vibe, not like computers, not like triggers. And that's what Peter's input to this record was. And I think it's fantastic because he makes it sound organic, yet at the same time makes it sound like a very contemporary presentation. So business as usual, but let's get the objectivity in there. The right guy was Peter, in our opinion, because he's adaptable to different bands. Dimmu Borgir, Hypocrisy, Pain, Overkill, Arch Enemy, that type of a thing.
You know, when it comes to Overkill Records, one of the things I always look forward to the most, aside from the songs, is the production. You know, in my head, as a fan, I have this sort of perfect sounding Overkill record that I long to hear, and it's what you were alluding to. It's kind of got that live in the studio sound to it. You know, nothing overproduced or expensive sounding. Something a little more blue collar sounding, or stripped down, bare bones or sounding, or no pun intended there. But you know, and that's why I love the Wrecking Your Neck live album. You know, it's got like that no frills production. You know, and that's what I really appreciate about metal bands these days, is that even though they can overproduce, they don't, and they don't need to, and I appreciate that.
And I think in this case, you're pretty spot on, too, because, you know, I think one of the things that's always loved about Overkill, and what I'm told, not just what I perceive, is that, I love this band live type of a thing. So I think that if you can translate that to disc, to listenable information in your car, and your iPod, and your stereo in the house, through your radio station for your listeners, if you translate that, you've got something special. So when you really come down to it, it comes down to performance, and then the performance dictates where the production goes. So I think that in this case, we have what is Overkill performance with regard to, let's say, live, in-your-face type of a feel. And it's really the characteristic that makes Ironbound, let's say, that talked-about entity of early 2010.
Okay, well, you mentioned that performance kind of dictates the production quality. So do you go into the studio to record with that clear vision, for lack of a better term, in mind of how the record will sound? Or is that achieved once you're actually recording in the studio, then you realize, okay, this is based on our performance in the studio recording this record, this is how we think this is going to sound?
There's certain parameters. I mean, obviously, you can't go in blind. But I think that we leave those parameters loose. To build a great house, you need a great foundation. And that foundation is Dee Dee Verney, Ron Lipnicki. And those are the best parameters to start with. And then everything else falls into place from that point on. But it's still about performance. One of the things that I see on this record, it's Ron's second record. And, you know, do you break a wild horse, or is it more beautiful just running the way it runs? And why break him? Let him do what he does best, and that's run like hell. So that really set the tone for the performances to follow. You know, when I'm involved with the drum tracks, and I'm hearing these things go down, and I'm going, holy shit, it sounds like the band's back on dope. It sounds like somebody's got their hands on some good speed. And really what it is excitement. And if it starts with Ron's excitement and then Dee Dee layers on top of it, and then comes the guitars, and then comes me, the performances that follow Ron's are dictated by Ron's. And I think that he's really instrumental into giving it that energetic feel all the way across the board.
Well, I know that Ron, your drummer, has been in a band for a few years now, and I will tell you that from a live performance standpoint, when I saw you guys a few tours ago, a few years back, it was pretty apparent that the band live, I mean, you always are always one of the top live bands in the world, period, but there seemed to be an added sense of energy once Ron was in the band drumming live. And now that he's actually been recording with you for a while now, I mean, does it feel like there's no more need for him to sort of gel within the band, like it's like he's been there for 20 years? I mean, has that moment passed where he's still kind of feeling out his way into the band now that he's been doing this for a few years?
Well, it's gelled, obviously. And that's what's necessary, that it gels as a unit. And that's happened in the live theater. And I think, you know, from the studio perspective, Ironbound is the evidence that it's also gelled in the studio. You can't say 20 years, because 20 years is too long to think. But you can say that for now, this is as good as it gets for right now. He's added to the band. When you get a new guy in the band, especially someone, a drummer, the drummer has to steer the ship. He has to understand the fact that, you know, it may be Dee Dee and I have been here for 25 years, but it's really all about him. And he understands that. And if he can take control of that, it makes everyone else follow in suit and appear more powerful. So, yes, what he's done is just brought the band to a different level.
Yeah, don't let this guy get away, man, I'm telling you. Don't let it happen.
He's awesome.
All right, well, let's talk touring, something Overkill excels at. And, you know, I'm convinced you guys are going to continue to tour even after you and Dee Dee are dead. I'm serious. You know, I'm sure that shortly after you and Dee Dee have passed, there's going to be an announcement of, like, a Casket Fest tour featuring you guys in your coffins on stage. I mean, you better believe I'll be in the front row banging my head, yelling out, raise the dead, you know, nice day for a funeral, you know. It'd be the Death Comes Out to Play tour or the It Lives tour, you know, I Rise Dead, man, I could do this all night. So Killfest runs from April 1st through May 1st, and your New England date is April 2nd out of Worcester, Mass. Support band. I haven't seen you in Worcester in a long, long time. I've seen you guys playing at a lot of smaller clubs and bars throughout the New England area over the years, but now you're finally going to be in this obviously larger venue down in Worcester, so I'm really looking forward to seeing you there. You've got support bands, Vader, God Dethroned, Warbringer, Evil Wolf, Tyrants, and man, you guys have got yourselves a hell of a lineup. Was there one person who posed the idea, instead of doing Overkill with maybe one support act and then local openers, to doing this package deal? Was there one person who proposed that?
We've been pushing for this. You know, this works for us on a really high level in Europe, the package. And we wanted to do it last year, but didn't get the right bands in line for it. We had brought Warbringer with us last year. A band called Epitherion. I mean, good bands, but not the impact that it has with these other bands right now. And Warbringer again on this tour, based on their impact on the first one. But the package works for us. It works. I think it works for the people into this music because it makes it event-like.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, if it's really about, you know, how much destruction can you put into a 4-hour period musically. This is that kind of a lineup. And
oh,
I think that those kind of memories for someone who is, you know, a fan of Overkill, a fan of Vader, Warbringer, et cetera, this is what makes it special, that it's power-packed from start to finish.
Absolutely.
So it's worked for us in Europe, and just quite obviously we wanted to apply that to the States.
Yeah, you've got two veteran death metal bands. You've got a couple of young thrash bands keeping the old school alive. I mean, this is great. I wish I could see this, you know, every time Overkill tours the States as a package deal kind of like this. You got to keep Killfest going.
I agree. I mean, you know, it's necessary to change with the times. I think one of the things right now with regard to, you know, even outside of music, is that economics are part of what's going on right now for people. And I think that, you know, if you put it together for a few bucks more than it would just be for ourselves to make it happen on such a high level in bigger venues with great bands that are opening, you're really making an event, and you're making that economically viable for someone who might have wanted to see three of those bands on three separate occasions.
Right.
Now can see all on one.
All of them. Yeah, and you've got some European bands too that you're bringing over. Not just a bunch of bands, you know, from the States. You've got a European band. I think this is a great idea. So I'm already looking forward to Killfest 2012. So start planning now, man. All right. I got to ask you.
Send your ideas to wreckingcrew.com.
I got to ask you, when are we finally going to get the Motorhead Overkill tour? Come on, you want it. It's been too long since you guys have been. You just have to do a full on U.S. tour. It's got to happen. You know you want it.
Dude, I mean, that's my favorite band to tour with. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. It was 2007. It was Berlin. It was the last night of Motorhead Overkill. And Lemmy comes up to me in the hallway and says, "I want you to sing Overkill with me." And I was so freaked over this. I was like, "This is awesome, right?" So
yeah.
I do the song, and it's fantastic. And they go into the reintro where there's no more vocals. So I stage dive in, and I'm having a great time. I'm looking up at Lemmy upside down. First thing I do is I go back to the dressing room. I crack a beer. I'm sweating. I call my wife. I said, "Listen, I just sang Overkill with Lemmy." She goes, "Wow, that's great." Now, keep in mind that it was like December of 2007, and she goes, "Wow, that's great. I'm stuck on the driveway on ice, and we have this like driveway that's on a cliff." And I said, "Listen, I'm really sorry about that, but I gotta go right now. I just sang."
Priorities.
So, my point is that there'd be nothing I'd love more.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it over in Europe, but we need it here in the States. You know, and in the 1988 words of Dee Verney, it's like touring with old drunk gods. And that is the tour name for you guys, the Old Drunk Gods Tour, Motorhead Overkill. Now, I know you get asked about live set list a lot. And with so many albums and songs, I can't even imagine what it must be like for you guys to have to trying to find out, okay, what songs do we add? What's new stuff do we do? What old stuff? You know, do we play all the ones people expect us to? And what about the forgotten things? And, you know, fans like us are always nagging at you like, come on, Bobby, add this, add that. And do you feel that Overkill can go against the grain and say, like, look, we got to drop Gutter so we can add a little bit of Murder, you know, we got to drop Elimination so we can play Drunken Wisdom? I mean, do you think you can do that, or do you think you owe it to the fans to stick to the obvious six or seven that you have to do?
Well, I think there's six or seven that have to be in there. I think that's just the way it is, and that's a third of the set. But it does still give us 12 songs to mess around with. And insert different ones, pull old ones out, put new ones in. I mean, an Ironbound is for obviously screaming to be played.
Oh yeah.
So it's
absolutely,
you know, in our opinion, something that has to be done. At least three or four songs from Ironbound. So I think it's a tough situation to be in, having this many records. But I suppose we could always just forego the whole thing and say, you know, to hell with it all. We'll just play whatever we want.
Yeah.
Start to finish. But I do think that part of it is about the support over the years, and sure, there's some stuff that's expected, but we usually only designate a third of the set for that.
Yeah, and I bring this up because I remember seeing you like back on the WFO tour, on the From the Underground tour, and you weren't doing Gutter at all, you know. And I think one of those shows you didn't even do Elimination. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe they're open to not doing the songs that are expected of them, you know.
I mean, there's periods of time that we've gone through like that. I don't know. This time we're not going to. We're going to do those six or seven that are expected.
Right.
For sure.
And I'll tell you what, I've got a job opportunity for you. You know, I will slip you a cool $20 if you add The Beast Within, There's No Tomorrow, and Birth of Tension to the set. No, I'm telling you, man, if I do this and a lot of the other fans are willing to toss out their 20s to you, dude, you got yourself a great little third income there. And what does that mean for you? All you got to do is play a few songs, you know, that us diehards want to hear that you don't normally do. So, The Beast Within, There's No Tomorrow, Birth of Tension, $20 is yours. What a deal.
Let me tell you something. It wouldn't be hard for me to do it all. I'd do it for free.
No, that's okay. I'll pass along the 20. That's how committed I am to Overkill. Here's $20.
You know? You go around, collect.
You'll never hear from me again.
The red wristband on. 20.
All right, so I know you've got some more interviews to do. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about Bobby Ellsworth. You know, now when you're at home, just Bobby, you know, not Blitz, you have no Overkill commitments. I want to know how you spend your time outside of the music business, even outside of your family business. You know, what do you do at home? Basically, who are you?
It's pretty simple for me. you know, I try not to complicate things. I live in a really rural area, so it's not about running down to the corner for the newspaper. It's more about land and lakes and the woods. I have a beautiful 2.5-year-old German Shepherd who this is actually my third one since I've lived in this home, and she takes up as much of my free time as possible. It's like daddy daughter day as soon as I put down the phone and have to become just a normal guy around the house and not promoting this stuff or not getting ready for the road. So it's pretty simple for me. It's motorcycles. It's spending time with my wife and my dog. And honestly doing home improvements.
Oh, you're one of those guys, huh? You're constantly rebuilding your home.
You know, I'm not so motivated to do it, but my wife really is, and it's one of those times that we actually get to spend together a lot. So it's mommy, daddy, and doggy.
Are you currently remodeling a room in your home now?
Yes, we're doing a bathroom.
The most important one of all. All right.
Sorry. And then the kitchen comes.
Hey, thanks for your time, Bobby. Great to talk with you again. The new record, Ironbound, is out now. The Killfest U.S. Tour starts on April 1st. For all info on Overkill, head over to rickandcrew.com. Bobby, I'm going to see you in Worcester, Mass., April 2nd. Take care, brother.
Okay, man.
All right, later.